This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. During the three previous Sundays, we've learned about three women: Eve, Sarah, and Elizabeth. And we learned how they were waiting for Jesus. In other words, they were waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled, the promise He made all the way back in Genesis 3:15. You see, after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a Savior for them and us, their sinful descendants. Simply put, God said that the woman would give birth to a male child who would crush the power of the devil. Now, of course, only God can crush the power of the devil. Therefore, the male child would be God Himself in human flesh. Well, today, the waiting is over. Today, we learn from Scripture that Mary was the woman. She was the virgin who gave birth to the eternal Son of God, who was conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in our gospel reading for today, we learn how Mary found out that she would be the woman. However, you need to understand, Mary knew already that there was a possibility that she might be the woman. Why? Well, the reason is that Mary, like many other women throughout history, she was part of the family line from which God said the Savior would be born. Now, we know from Scripture that Mary was a descendant of the tribe of Judah, from which God said the Savior would come. Now, what's really interesting, though, is that King David was also from the tribe of Judah. And if you recall our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel, God told King David that his offspring would have an eternal kingdom. Now, King David's immediate son was none other than King Solomon. You might remember from Sunday school or Bible class that Solomon was very wise, and he built a temple of God in Jerusalem. However, Solomon's reign only lasted 40 years, and then it came to an end. In addition, the temple he built was eventually destroyed by the Babylonians. So even though this prophecy that God gives to David is somewhat fulfilled in his son Solomon, it's not completely fulfilled. Because as I said, Solomon's reign came to an end, the temple he built was destroyed, and by the way, Solomon was a sinner. God had to rebuke him at various times. So even though part of this prophecy applies to Solomon, most of it does not. It simply doesn't fit him. Therefore, when God told David that his offspring would build a temple for God's name and that his reign would be eternal, God was not ultimately talking about Solomon, because his reign would end and his temple would be destroyed. Well, if God was not talking about Solomon, whom then did God mean? Who is this offspring of David who would build a temple for God's name and whose reign would never end? Well, listen again to the words the angel spoke to Mary. He said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary was a descendant of King David. Her son would be the offspring of David, whose reign would never end. But there was only one problem. You see, Mary was a virgin. Mary was young, but she wasn't naive. Mary knew that virgins don't have babies. So she asked a logical question, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And here's what the angel said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. If you recall, last Sunday we learned about Elizabeth, who had the privilege of giving birth to John the Baptizer, whom God had chosen to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Now, since Elizabeth was carrying in her womb the promised messenger who would prepare God's people for the Messiah, Elizabeth knew that she just might have the opportunity of meeting her Lord and Savior in her lifetime. And little did Elizabeth know how soon she would meet him. Remember, in our gospel reading, we learned that Mary goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth. And what's interesting about this meeting is that at the time they meet, both Elizabeth and Mary are pregnant. John the Baptist is in the womb of Elizabeth, and Jesus, God's Son, is in the womb of Mary. And listen again to what Luke writes about this situation. He says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. My friends, the waiting is over. Both Elizabeth and Mary were in the presence of their Lord and Savior who was in the womb of Mary. And now the only thing they were waiting for was the actual birth of Jesus. In the same way, we are waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Tomorrow night is Christmas Eve. Tuesday morning will be Christmas Day. And during this time, Christians around the world will celebrate the fact that God kept His promise. The promise He made all the way back in Genesis 3:15 about the male child who would be born of a woman and crush the power of the devil. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes about the fulfillment of this promise in Galatians chapter 3. Listen again to these words. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive full rights as sons. So the waiting is over. Jesus was born as our Savior, just as God had promised. In fact, Christmas is a time for us to celebrate the fact that God kept His promise. Christmas is a time for us to rejoice in the gift of forgiveness and eternal life made possible for us sinners because of the male infant who was born to die and then also conquer death for us. However, as we learned in our children's sermon, the waiting still continues. You see, even though Jesus was born, lived, died, conquered death, and ascended to God's throne, we still wait for Him to return again in power and glory, just as He promised. But you know, some people might say, but Pastor, We've been waiting almost 2,000 years. Do you think God's going to keep His promise? How long do we have to wait? Well, when we get impatient, we need to remember how long God's people throughout history had to wait for Jesus' first coming. Remember Eve, the first woman ever created? She was still waiting for Jesus when she died after hundreds of years of life. Remember Sarah? Sarah, the wife of Abraham, lived over 2,000 years before Jesus was born. And Sarah was still waiting for Jesus when she died. Today we heard about Elizabeth and Mary. They were also waiting for Jesus. And they were given the opportunity to see Jesus in their lifetime. However, they also died realizing that they were still waiting. Because after Jesus ascended, He said He would come again in power and glory. And both Elizabeth and Mary died knowing that they were still waiting. So during Christmas, we can rejoice in the fact that God kept His promise. Jesus was born as our Savior, as God had promised. But along with all other believers who have lived and died throughout history, we're still waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come again and set all things right once and for all. We are longing for the fulfillment of the words that we speak at the end of the creed when we talk about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We're waiting for that day. And my friends, I know the waiting is long and sometimes we grow impatient, but we need to remember that God will keep His promise. My friends, He will keep His promise, and to assure us of that, we need to remember that God also comes among us right now, in the present. Just as God came in the past as He promised, just as God will come again in the future as He promised, He comes among us now in the present, just as He promised. For example, the Bible teaches clearly that Jesus comes to us in the waters of holy baptism. In holy baptism, God puts His name on us and He comes to dwell within us. Now that's very interesting, especially if you remember our reading from 2 Samuel. Remember God told David that his offspring would build a house for His name? But I also told you that the temple that King Solomon built was destroyed, leveled to the ground. But my friends, God still has an eternal temple for His name. You see, God put His name on you in holy baptism. And the Bible clearly teaches that you baptized Christians are the temple of God. And as long as you trust in Jesus, you will never be destroyed, not even by death itself. And so God does have an eternal temple for His name. In addition, Jesus comes among us now through the preaching, teaching, and reading of Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture is God's holy word, and this is the way that Jesus speaks to us today. In fact, that is why it is so important for us Christians to hear and read and study and believe Holy Scripture. This is how Jesus speaks to us, and that's how He keeps us strong in our faith and also gives us the wisdom to live as His people in this world. In fact, Jesus also wants to use us to speak His word to other people, especially those who do not yet believe in Him, so that they too might be called to faith and wait for Jesus along with with us. Finally, my friends, Jesus comes among us now when he gives us his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. We will receive this awesome gift tomorrow night at our Christmas Eve service. And think about this miracle. Just as Jesus physically dwelt in the womb of the Virgin Mary, in a similar way, Jesus puts his own body and blood into you when you receive Holy Communion, not only to assure you that your sins are forgiven, but that he actually physically dwells within you. Even though we're waiting for Jesus to come again visibly in glory, the fact is, he now dwells in us through the Lord's Supper. He's as close to us as he could possibly be. Those who believe rejoice in this miracle. My Christian friends, Jesus comes among us in so many ways. He came to us in the past just as he promised. He will come again in the future in power and glory just as he promised. And as a down payment on that future promise, we also have God's assurance that he comes to us now in the present. In view of this wonderful gift, we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And while we do this, we rejoice in the fact that he's among us now as we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the male child born of the woman. Amen. Now may the peace of God which passes